Today I have chosen an obscure mother in the Bible whose impact upon the world was felt and has continued to be felt for well over 3,000 years. Moses was the product of his mother's influence and training and prayer. Her name was Jochebed. Jochebed was a role model for trusting in the living God in the midst of a pagan culture and in the midst of a dangerous culture and in the midst of a dangerous world.
Dr. Michael Youssef, introducing you to a special mom and the topic on today's Leading the Way. Now, many of you are planning some time with mom over the weekend, honoring her as that special person who guided you through the challenges of growing up. Others of you are remembering the times that you had with mom when she was still here living with us on earth. Well, today, Dr. Youssef encourages moms, young and seasoned moms, with a look at how one faithful mom impacted history. Let's listen as Dr. Michael Youssef begins this special Leading the Way.
Motherhood has been under attack in the past several decades in our culture. And yet, motherhood is one of God's highest callings. Motherhood is one of the greatest responsibility that God has placed on anyone. Motherhood is one of the most powerful and influential ministry in the whole world. Motherhood has the power to impact societies, to impact nations, and to impact the world. Motherhood has greater impact on the future of the world than emperors. Why do I say this? Because you can never point to anyone who has accomplished anything without discovering that there behind the scene, a mother who encouraged and who prayed and who motivated her son or daughter. You've heard it said that behind every successful man, there is a surprised mother-in-law. But never a mother. Never a mother. In fact, if you go through history and you begin to think of the people who have accomplished great things, and I could have a list as long as my arm, but I thought of just few, like St. Augustine, who literally accomplished what he accomplished simply because of his mother, Monica, who prayed for him, who interceded for him, who exhorted him. Timothy, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us, that he has accomplished great things for God as a disciple of the Apostle Paul, because both his mother and his grandmother prayed for him and instructed him and encouraged him in the ministry. John and Charles Wesley became what they became and impacted the world for Christ because of their mother, Susanna, who had 11 children, and she spent 1 hour a day praying for every and each one of her children. The list goes on and on and on. But today I have chosen an obscure mother in the Bible whose impact upon the world was felt and has continued to be felt for well over 3,000 years. Moses, the lawgiver. Moses, the deliverer of God's people from the slavery of Egypt. Moses, whom God used to give us the Ten Commandments that are continued to impact our world. Moses, whose impact upon the world still felt today, well over 3,000 years later. Moses was the product of his mother's influence and training and prayer. Her name was Jochebed. Jochebed represents all that is positive in motherhood. Jochebed was a role model for godly motherhood. Jochebed was a role model for self-sacrificing. Jochebed was a role model for trusting in the living God in the midst of a pagan culture and in the midst of a dangerous culture and in the midst of a dangerous world. The reason she represents the role model of a godly mother, godly motherhood, is because she teaches all of us the priority of motherhood. She teaches us the protection of motherhood. She teaches us the preparedness of children on the part of motherhood. She teaches us the provision for children on the part of motherhood. But before I get to Jacobit's priority, protection, preparation, and provision, I need to give you some historical background so you can track with me when I talk about Jacobit. First, Jacob, whose name later changed into Israel, had 12 sons. The second youngest, named Joseph. His older brothers were jealous of him. They were envious of him. And so they sold him into slavery, and he ended up in Egypt. And despite of the temptations, despite of the difficulties, he remained a faithful servant of God. He would not sin against God. And because of his faithfulness to God, God raised him up from the prison to the palace, and he became the prime minister of Egypt. When he became prime minister, he brought all his brothers and all his siblings and their wives and their children, that 70 plus in number. And he brought his father into Egypt. And there he gave them the best of lands. And for 300 years after Joseph, one Pharaoh after another, one king after another, honored the Israelites, blessed the Israelites, because they remembered what Joseph had done for Egypt and for the world. He literally saved the world from death and starvation. But then came a new king, the Bible said, in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8, it says that there came a new king, a new Pharaoh, who did not know all that Joseph had done for Egypt. Obviously, what happened with this guy, he came in, and he said, I don't care what Joseph did, and I don't want to remember what Joseph did. It's been so long ago. I'm not going to be kind to Israelites. All they do is they represent a threat because they're becoming a nation inside a nation, and I can't tolerate that. And so he issued a decree. In order to eliminate God's people, he said, every baby boy that is born to the Hebrews must be thrown in the Nile. It must die before growing up. That's what you call abortion on demand. But the decree of the king. But then Moses arrives. And his mother and father knew this is a precious child. He's a gift of God. That God had a plan for this boy. And when Moses' mother looked at that boy, she knew that God has a unique gift and a unique plan and a unique purpose for this boy. And so she trusted in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 tells us, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so first thing that Jacobit did was protected her son. How? She hid him for 3 months. I mean, I want you to imagine with me, in that culture, when people are living on top of each other, how can you hide a baby for 3 months without crying and somebody snitching and telling the king and telling Pharaoh's henchmen to come and get him? But they kept him for 3 months. Then she weaved a basket and she placed it in the waters of the River Nile, totally trusting for Jehovah to protect the boy. She trusted in the plan of God. Now, you must understand a few things about the Nile. The Nile, although it's a symbol of life in many ways because it irrigates the country, but to many moms, the Nile was a symbol of death. The Nile, which is a symbol of idolatry. The Nile was a symbol of the world itself. But it became the instrument of life that saved baby Moses' life. Let me explain to you. Pagan Egyptian mothers would sacrifice their children to the Nile gods, literally throw them alive into the Nile. But Jacobit saw the same source of death as a source of life when God is in it. Jacobit protected her child. How? Pagan Egyptian mothers were throwing their babies into the Nile to sacrifice them to the Nile gods. But Jacobit covered her son with a basket and covered the basket with asphalt so that he may be protected from the influence of the world's murky waters. I want you to listen to me carefully, please. You hear it in the news all the time of how so many parents are sacrificing their children for the sake of money, for the sake of fame, and for the sake of popularity. But godly mothers protect their children by weaving a basket of the Word of God in order to keep them from drowning in the world's waters. Godly mothers seal that basket with the Holy Spirit so that the children will grow up to know God, to believe in God, to trust in God, to walk with God, and to serve God. But not only that, when she placed him among the reeds of the River Nile, she put him right there where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter comes with her maidens every day to bathe. I mean, talk about putting him in the line of fire. She totally trusted in God, and she placed the basket right there in the place of danger. And then she set her daughter Miriam, Moses' older sister, she set her as a watch, and there she kept watching. And sure enough, right on schedule, Pharaoh's daughter comes out with her maiden to bathe in the River Nile. And she sees the basket and she opens it. And there she falls in love with the baby. And she breaks her own father's decree. And under the watchful eye of Miriam. And as soon as Pharaoh's daughter stopped gagging and gawing about the beautiful little boy, there Miriam ran. She said, "Ma'am, I know somebody who can nurse this baby for you." Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? So here, Jochebed is going to nurse her own son. She's going to train him and instruct him for the first 5 to 8 years of his life. And guess what? Pharaoh was going to pay for it. That's how God works, folks. During those 5 to 8 years, no doubt Jochebed taught her son Moses before he was adopted to be Pharaoh's grandson, before he went to Pharaoh's palace, before he got into the palace environment. She told him about his ancestors. She told him about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. She told him about Joseph's faithfulness and purity and refusal to compromise and how God honored him to the palace. She told him about God's plan to deliver his people that he promised Abraham 300 years earlier. And she told him all of that as she instructed him in those formidable years of a child's life. Pagan Egyptian mothers were offering their children as a sacrifice to the crocodile gods of the Nile. But Jochebed was protecting her son. In fact, Pharaoh here probably thought he was going to kill two birds with one stone. On the one hand, he's going to get rid of God's people by destroying the male heir. And the other hand is to keep appeasing the crocodile gods by throwing those babies in there. In fact, the plan of Pharaoh, who is a type of Satan, was to wear down God's people. That was his plan. One of Satan's plans, one of Satan's plots today is to wear down godly fathers and mothers. That is Satan's plot for today. They want to wear them down so they can give up and they throw their hands up in the air, throw their kids to the crocodile of culture. But listen to me, just as Pharaoh and Satan were unsuccessful then, they will not be successful now because of the prayers of the moms. And I was thinking about moms and the protection of their children, and my mind went back to a historical event, a true historical event, took place many, many years ago, where there was a young mom who was carrying her baby boy. As she was making her way across the hills of South Wales in the UK, in that particular day, as she was making the trek, she was battling a blinding blizzard. Sadly, she never made her destination. But when the blizzard subsided, the searchers came and they found her body beneath a mound of snow. What happened was that this incredible mom realized that she's not going to make it out alive. So she decided to take off her outer garments and wrap around her baby. And then she literally mounted herself, her body, over the child and gave her life for him. And so when the searchers came, as they unwrapped that baby, to their utter amazement and surprise, he was alive. There can be no greater love than that. This mother's love is but a symbol of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, where there he bled and died in order to save the life of everyone who would come to him, everyone who would believe in him, everyone who would surrender to him, everyone who would repent of their sins and receive his gift of forgiveness and eternal life. He died on the cross so that whomsoever would come to him may receive it. I want you to hear me right, please. Jacobed had everything working against her, just like modern moms. The culture was working against her. The law was working against her. The government was working against her. The whole system was working against her. But she did not only protect her son, she prepared her son. For 5 to 8 years, she prepared him for Pharaoh's pagan palace. For 5 to 8 years, she instructed him and prepared him for Pharaoh's pagan influence. She prepared him to be released to the protection of the Heavenly Father. You know, I know that there are some moms, and I dare say dads, who really have a hard time letting go. I know that. In fact, having sat through college orientations 4 times, I heard some horror stories from these college presidents about parents who would not let go. I mean, it was amazing. I'll never forget what I heard about how 3 days after the starting of the school, they discovered a mom in her son's closet, hiding there. But listen, godly moms who protect their children also prepare their children for release into the world. Godly moms who have instructed their children, who have protected their children in the Word of God, can confidently prepare them to be released in the world. Listen, I must testify to you. I don't do that very often, but let me just kind of take a minute here and really testify to the strength of my wife in this whole situation. I mean, you know, I think some of you already guessed that anyway, but she really is. God gave her unusual strength, and I thank God for her. I tell you, every time we dropped one of our kids in college, my goodness, on the way back, I cried like a baby. I had to get off the road and kind of finish sobbing. And every time she would look at me and she said, "Stop being a sissy." But listen, in all seriousness, God's plan for our children is beyond us. Did you get that? God's plan for our children is for them to be light and salt in the world. It is God's plan for our children for them to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ in their own right. Had Jacobed not prepared to release Moses into Pharaoh's palace, history would have been written differently. I understand the sovereignty of God. God would have done it some other way. But had she not done this, 1 to 2 million Jews would have remained in slavery in the muds of Egypt, never be delivered. It was God's plan all along to deliver his people from the slavery of Egypt, because that's what he told Abraham 400 years earlier. It was God's plan. And he was going to do it. But he needed the cooperation of Jacobed. Did you get that? He needed the cooperation of Jacobed. Beloved, listen to me. When you and I do not cooperate with God's plan, when we dig our heels and we want our own plan, we are the losers. You can get every blessing when you cooperate with God's plan, not yours. Had God the Father not given up God the Son, You and I would never have experienced forgiveness of sins. We would never experience eternal salvation. We would never have had peace and joy in this life. We would never know what it is to have confidence that we have eternal life with Him forever. If it was not for Jesus' willingness to lay down His life, we would never have been delivered from the slavery of sin and the bondage of sin and the consequences of sin. I thank God for all of you who cooperate with God's plan. As I conclude, let me remind you of this. Every one of us has a mother. Some are still around in this world, and I thank God for that. Others, like in my case, our mothers are already gone in glory, and they are in the presence of God, rejoicing, seeing Jesus face to face. I remember the last words my mother ever uttered. She said, "I can hear them singing. I can hear them singing." And then she went and joined them in that song. Whether your mother is alive or not, the question that I want to present to you is this before I conclude. What are you doing in carrying out your mother's legacy? What are you doing for God to perpetuate your mother's mission? What are you doing for God to impact the world for Christ? Moses fulfilled his mother's mission. The question is, are you?
You are listening to Dr. Michael Youssef on this edition of Leading the Way. Heard on the radio, heard online, and heard on your mobile device through the Leading the Way app. You can learn more at ltw.org.
Whenever I wake up in the morning, I always have a cup of coffee, and then I begin my Bible study. I usually spend a couple hours in prayer, on my knees. That's where the faith gets built. That's where you meet God. My grandmother would lay in bed at night, and I would hear her talking, and I remember thinking to myself, who is she talking to? And so as time went on, I realized she was praying. It's when the previous generations, my great-grandmother and my grandmother and my mother, that spent time on their knees in prayer, that encourages me to go to my prayer closet and bring my children, my grandchildren, before the throne. My youngest, his name is Andrew. He is an explosive device person in the Army. He goes before the troops and he finds the mines. This particular time, he was on top of the Hummer as the gunman. The explosive device was detonated from the hillside. My son was thrown from the top of the Hummer and he had loss of consciousness. When my son called me and he said, "Oh, Mom," he said, "you know, I didn't want you to know about that." And I said, "No, knowing about that builds faith. You know," I said, "you're living and you're alive from an explosion that was so great because Jesus did that for you. Jesus did that through a prayer." I remember hearing Michael Youssef's, his word was good. And what he was saying it with heart and with soul and with authority. I have gone through so many teachings with him in my every morning devotion. I mean, Monday through Friday, I am listening to Leading the Way without exception. Those women that just stayed on their knees and bleed for their families, it's a mighty duty. And we need to honor her by being the best person we can be and the best person in Christ, and let that mother know that you love her and that she's important.
Learn more about Dr. Youssef and how you can stand with Leading the Way in passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth at home and around the world when you visit ltw.org or when you call 866-626-4356. Or you can send us a letter. We really love getting your handwritten notes. You can write to Leading the Way, Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325. Again, that's Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 303-325. This program is provided by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.